Welcome back to the second hour of Leading Edge Medicine. Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only. Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umeb. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine, while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. And now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umeb, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
And we're back. It's hour number two of Leading Edge Medicine. We have all the doctors in the studio today. Dr. Samira Umeb here. Also, Dr. Jerry Mixon. And we can take your calls. Phone lines wide open right now at 888-312-5757. That's 888-312-5757. You can call right now with your question. Dr. Mixon, anything medical that we need to watch? I mean, here we are, winter, flu season. What's going on with the RSV and what's COVID
RSV
looking like?
RSV is kind of burning itself out. That's not, okay. That had its big peak.
Okay.
Flu is still an active thing, but it's also waning. You know, we hit that peak back in November, early December. And so flu is fading. COVID is stable at a low level. It's not really going up, not really going down, but it's, you know, it's about 95% below where it was on its last big peak. So, and we're really not seeing any growth there.
Okay.
So I think from a viral standpoint, we are pretty much in the new normal and the crisis is gone. Somebody needs to tell Mr. Biden that it really wasn't necessary to extend the, quote, emergency again.
Oh, boy. And how long is that for now?
I think they do it for 3 months at a time or something. Just did it, and I think it goes till April.
Oh, boy. Okay.
But this is the 12th time it's been extended.
Extended, yeah.
And so, you know, and I think they just want to keep the emergency powers to tell people what to do and what not to do is really, I think, what's behind it all. But the House now with the new Republican majority has actually just passed a bill declaring the emergency to be over and done. The problem, of course, is that it still has to go by the Senate, which the other party controls, and then the president would have to sign it.
Oh, boy.
So it's not got a snowball's chance in hell of taking effect. It's purely symbolic.
Unless he thinks it's past April and it's already 4th of July.
And it could be.
Yeah.
Who knows? Who knows what that poor old man knows?
Yes. Wow. Okay. Well, that sounds like some good news.
Kind of.
That at least ish.
Goodish news.
There we go. I think we should take a phone call.
All right.
Let's go to Tukwila. We have Ron on the line. Hi there, Ron, and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine. Good morning.
Hello, Ron. How are you today?
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I just left my blood in your Kirkland office for my gallery test. Nice clinic, by the way. I will say that.
But they are wonderful.
I had a proximal fracture of the greater tuberosity of my humerus repaired 4 weeks ago. I'm trying to get off of the oxycodone. I'm doing pretty darn well. But I do have a concern. When I looked at the x-ray 2 weeks ago, which would have been 2 weeks post-op, it appeared to me that suturing that chunk of bone back in place left a few rough edges. And I asked the physician's assistant, I said, that does not look like a nice smooth humerus for a deltoid muscle to rub up against. Are those bone spurs and are they going to persist? And she said, well, it might look a little rough, but those will heal over. You have nothing to worry about. I'm 4 weeks out. I'm feeling pretty good, still pain, but when I do movements with my shoulder, it feels like I can feel something bumping over something on the proximal surface of that greater tuberosity. Am I being over-concerned?
As the guy on the radio and not the guy who's examined you or seen your studies, I have some limitations in what I can say. Okay. Usually the roughness will indeed smooth over quite nicely. The first thing that happens is where there's raw surface, you lay down fibrin and you basically get a layer of scar tissue over that bone that usually pads and makes things smoother. And then the bone itself will remodel. And you'll change the shape, and you'll smooth
better
it.
Better already, Jerry.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
That's great.
Yeah. So those are the good news. On the other hand, you are a man of some mature years, and so your bone doesn't turn over. Yeah, doesn't repair itself as efficiently as it would have when you were 29 or 19. You know. So your healing will be slower, and it will be less complete. That's just the reality of being 79 years old. I would like to get you on as much as we could to accelerate bone turnover and to help you with the apoptosis, with the old cell death and repair with new cells. Probably the least invasive, approach to that is just spermidine, about three times a day. It increases the rate of apoptosis and cellular regeneration to some modest degree. The next step up the intervention ladder would be testosterone, raising your anabolic hormones, your testosterone and dehydroepiandrosterone will accelerate new bone growth and help you to repair the damage, the deep tissues. And then, if you wanted to go beyond that, I guess I'd be moving up towards something like rapamycin, which
I want to try that, Jerry. Please keep that up. I want to know how much guys our age should be taking.
I think the first thing should be testosterone.
Yeah.
That
testosterone is
the baseline.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Good.
I do that.
Good.
Yeah. Yeah, the rapamycin is, and nobody knows exactly what the right dose of that is. And I'm in a process right now of trying to pick which brand, which preparation of rapamycin. There are a lot of different brands out, and as I'm looking at the literature, there's enormous variation in the absorption and metabolism of the different forms. And so I am currently playing with my third prescription of a different preparation to check my blood levels and responses. So, as I know, you guys will know, but right now I'm still experimenting and I'm chief guinea pig in the clinic.
Oh, I thought you were CEO.
I am that too. CEO.
Hey, I am so thankful for that and for your being guinea pig, Jerry. I really am. I really appreciate it. And I never miss a word. The whole time, when I was sitting in your waiting room waiting for the gallery test, I had my phone up to my ear listening to the radio. I don't miss a word you guys say. I so appreciate it.
All right.
Oh, that's awesome.
Well, then we'll try and keep it clean and uplifting for you.
There you go.
Geez, that's going to be hard for you, isn't it?
It is.
Well, don't promise things you can keep.
I said I'd try.
Okay.
There are times in life.
Very much.
There are times in life when an old-fashioned Anglo-Saxon scatology is the absolute best expression of your mood.
So, scatology?
Yes.
Or the anti-jiggle machine?
Scatological refers to poop.
Oh. Okay.
It's just a fancy word for poop.
Oh, dear. Dr. Jeremy. Oh, boy.
Welcome to our world,
thanks
Robert.
Again, guys.
Take care, sir.
Yeah, good luck. Hey.
Thank you, Ron.
I hope things go well for you.
Yes.
Thanks for calling, by the way. I appreciate the feedback for the call office.
Yes, I'm glad that he was there, and I wonder how many other people were kind of listening to their phones, too, for the show.
I don't know.
Yes. Yay. We should have had it piped into the office next time. Huh?
Well, but, I mean, next
Linda,
time.
Is that a new word for you, scatological?
No, well, I was thinking scat, like singing scat, so that's where my brain went. So
I see.
I was waiting for you to scatologically say that you were feeling fine.
I was thinking scatter.
Oh,
scatological.
Okay. Yes.
Scatter.
But I have a husband who's hunted, and so, yeah, scat, I'm familiar
scat
with
is, too. That's right. That's the droppings of the animal that tell you which animal has been there.
And when somebody says, you want to check the scat,
themselves.
I'm like, I'll let you do that.
Okay. Well,
that's what you do.
Same root of the word, scatological.
Okay.
There you go.
All right. We are going to take, let's see here. Let's go ahead and get our question from Robert. Then we'll take a quick break and be back and talk with Robert from Seattle. Hi there, Robert. Welcome to our show.
Hello, Robert.
Hello. Thank you. The question is basically just a question about a pain medication. I have some lower back pain in the left sacroiliac area.
Okay.
And my doctor prescribed something called gabapentin, and my chiropractor said he doesn't like gabapentin. Do you think that gabapentin would handle pain, and are there any problems with it?
Gabapentin is not.
Yes.
Yeah.
No and no. Yes and no.
Yes and no. No and yes, maybe. Okay, gabapentin is a anti-seizure medication, is what it was originally designed for. And it stabilizes nerve firing, so the nerves don't fire randomly and cause a seizure. That's what the whole purpose was. It turns out that by damping down the nerve firing, you also damp down the pain sensations that the nociceptors are the pain receptors in your joints, that those nociceptors send the signals less frequently to the brain by damping it down. So that's the good news. It alters pain sensation. It doesn't really get rid of it, but it alters it. So you're feeling something a little different and usually less intense. That's the good news. The bad news, it doesn't just do it in your periphery, in your arms and legs. Okay? This was designed as a seizure medicine for your brain. It damps down the firing in your brain. And so if you take enough of it to be comfortable from your peripheral pain, many people find that they're a little goofy, they're tired, they don't have good memory, they're just sluggish. So it can decrease the quality of life in some people. And again, that's a dose-related phenomenon. The higher the dose, the more interference you get with your brain function. So that's I think that's the story on gabapentin.
Okay, one last question. If I was to take just like an over-the-counter pain medication like aspirin or something, mm-hmm. what would be the best one that would try to limit the pain that would not affect the stomach?
If you want to avoid affecting the stomach, you don't want aspirin.
Right.
Acetylsalicylic acid is tough on stomachs. It just is. I would go with something like Tylenol, acetaminophen. That's tougher on your liver, but it's easier on your stomach.
And that's oral. But if you wanted to rub a non-steroidal anti-inflammatory over the pain.
Ketoprofen or Proxicam.
Yeah, there are.
Would be two that would work well for
that. They're available over the counter.
Yeah. Yeah, you can get non-steroidal creams. And they are usually either ketoprofen, Proxicam, or ibuprofen.
Mm-hmm.
One of those three. And they can be applied directly over the injury and decrease pain perception.
Okay, so that's ketoprofen.
Right. Ketoprofen or Proxicam. Yeah, and then I know the compounding pharmacy down at Paramount, they make a mixture that is both ketoprofen and Proxicam mixed together to give you better relief. And then in people with a lot of pain, they can add a neuroleptic agent or even a narcotic to the cream. So you get high concentrations right at the injury and you don't have to mess up your head as
right.
much.
Right, or a muscle relaxant.
Mm-hmm. You would need a prescription for that, right?
Oh, yes, yes. Yes, to put all the narcotics and ketamine and stuff in it, you have to have a prescription.
But the pharmacist will help your doctor. So if you ask the doctor to call, the pharmacist is usually very helpful and knowledgeable.
Yeah. It's Brandon Lee owns the pharmacy, and Brandon will talk to your doctor.
Mm-hmm. And that's at Paramount Pharmacy.
And let him know what needs to be done. We've got to go. We've got the music. But mm-hmm. when we come back, I'm going to have give you Brandon's phone number.
Yes, I will. Okay. Stay on the line there, Robert. We'll be right back with more Leading Edge Medicine in just a moment.
My wife was the one who listened. She goes, "You got to listen to this guy. It makes a lot of sense. You know, he just made a lot of good common sense. You know, like you said, you don't measure, you don't know. I mean, physically, I'm stronger and faster than I was 10 years ago."
And welcome back. It's Leading Edge Medicine. My name is Lynette, along with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. We are here with Leading Edge Medicine. Taking your phone calls, and phone lines are open for you. Here is that number to get through right away. 888-312-5757. That's 888-312-5757. And we had Robert on the line. He had that question about Paramount Pharmacy.
Right. And his doctor can call the pharmacy and talk okay. to Brandon. Brandon is the pharmacist who owns the place. And Brandon can guide, if the doctor isn't familiar with these, can guide them through the options that they can put into transdermal creams for pain. You know, I went through this with my mom. She had a pacemaker put in, and for some bizarre reason, she had just horrible pain at the incision site that just was unremitting. And they tried all kinds of stuff. They finally sent her over to the pain clinics at the university, and they didn't come up with anything brilliant over there either. And basically, so I had Brandon mix up a neuro cream to put on. Total relief.
Wow.
Totally. She put it on twice a day, put it on in the morning when she woke up, and again mid-afternoon, and it completely got rid of the pain.
Oh, very good. This may be very helpful for you, Robert.
Yeah, and they're very good. And like I said, if the physician is receptive, you know, we call them all the time. I call Brandon all the time and say, "What should I do about this?" And he'll tell me what concentration has worked best and what other examples he can give me. So, yeah, use your pharmacist. They're there to help you. Yeah. Not everybody doesn't know everything.
No, and these guys have a doctorate in pharmacology.
Yeah.
And, you know, they, especially when you got experienced people like Brandon that has worked with compounding pharmacy and anti-aging clinics and stuff all over the country. And so he's really got a wonderful depth of knowledge, and he's always willing to share.
All right. You ready for that phone number, Robert?
Sure.
I think he hung.
All right. So here is the number for Paramount Pharmacy. Brandon Lee is the one you want to talk with. That number is 855-301-7677. Okay, 855-301-7677. That is for Paramount Pharmacy.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Yes, sir. You bet. Thank you for waiting, Robert. Okay, another phone call here. We're going to head to Paulsbo. Peggy is on the line. Peggy, good morning.
Good morning. Still morning.
Yes.
I heard the doctor talk about having some neuropathy, some idiopathic peripheral neuropathy, and I think he has already answered my question. He said that he is a guinea pig. Hi, Dr.
That's right. I'm little and fluffy, and my perky little ears just kind of twitch.
And you should see him eat a carrot.
Well, you fooled me. Goodness, I must be gullible.
Okay. Well, I met him in 1999 when he was first beginning. I came to the clinic.
Okay. He looks the same, just nothing's changed.
He does? Still, well, yeah.
That's awesome.
All right.
Anyway, yeah. He had this peripheral neuropathy, and I just have been suffering. In fact, that's one of the reasons I came into his clinic. And then I moved away, unfortunately, but I'm back. And I would like to know, is it the rapamycin that you were talking about?
Yeah, there's several things that sometimes help short of the rapamycin. Alpha-lipoic acid seems to increase the blood supply and to the microcirculation, the tiny, tiny vessels around the nerve. So alpha-lipoic acid in, you know, significant doses, up around 1,800, 2,000 milligrams a day.
That's a lot of ALA.
That's a lot of, yeah, and that means you're taking it with each meal.
Yeah.
You know, with food so that you don't get reflux.
Yes.
But yeah, I started on the rapamycin a few months ago, and the peripheral neuropathy in my feet is improving. It's changing significantly. I've got almost the sensation in the toes and the forefoot is now almost totally normal again. I still have some numbness across the back of the arch and the heel. But it seems to be healing in stages. It started with the toes, and then it's kind of slowly moving itself across the foot and getting better and better. So it's
actually improving.
Yes. Yeah, the numbness is just going away, and my sensation and balance there is just getting better all the time. Is it going to continue till a cure, or is it going to stop at some point, or is it going to turn around and start getting worse again? I have no idea. This is one of those changes that I have not seen in the literature. I look at the studies pretty carefully before I experiment on my own body here. I see improvements in lung function. I see improvements in heart function. I see improvements in muscle tone, in skin. I see improved, in a wide variety of issues, but I had not seen anything on peripheral neuropathy. And so I was really surprised when it started getting better, because my expectation was it was just going to get worse and worse and worse. That's the general course. Mm-hmm. But mine has started turning around. So the only thing I can see I've done different was the rapamycin.
Okay. So is there any prescription for that? I mean, of course,
Medicare will not cover it. It is an expensive drug. In the sorts of doses that I'm on right now, if I were using the branded drug, it would be about $8,000 a year just for the medication. Mm-hmm. I've now tried two different generic ones. One of the generic ones, I got no blood level with when I tested, so I think it was not absorbed well. That was the cheapest one. I started with the cheapest. And that one would have been about $1,800 a year. And so now I'm trying a different one that, it'd be about $300 a month. So it's a little more expensive. We're up around $3,500 to $4,000 a year with the one I'm trying right now. So, I'm experimenting. I'm looking for the one that has the lowest cost with the best absorption and blood levels. That's kind of my goal here. And when I find it, I'll tell folk. But until then, I'm still in experimental mode.
Well, thank you for doing that, and I will keep listening.
All right.
Very good. Thank you, Peggy.
Take care, Peggy.
Thank you. Bye now. Bye-bye.
Phone lines are open for you if you have a question. 888-312-5757. That's 888-312-5757. And we would love to get to your call as well. While we have a couple of minutes, let's talk about Bella Medica, our beautiful medicine side of Longevity Medical Clinics. And who better to talk about that than Dr. the beautiful Dr. Samira Umat.
Dr. Mixon just pays the salaries and buys the machines. You run things.
No. That's right. He talked about the anti-jiggle machine that
That's
made
right.
us laugh. Oh, my goodness. All right. Well, okay.
I haven't yet invented the anti-jiggle machine. And for those of you that did not listen, was it last week?
This is playing after this. Okay. Listen. You'll hear about the anti-jiggle machine.
Yep. Anti-jiggle machine. Okay.
Beautiful you. Yeah.
That's right. Oh, that's right. I recorded that one for you,
that's
didn't I?
That's right. You did.
Oh, my God. I'm on tape. Anyway, yeah, they were asking me how much weight someone should lose. And, you know, it depends on bone structure, muscle mass, fat to muscle ratios, male, female. Women carry a higher percentage of body fat than men. You know, we are designed to be hard and angular, and women are designed to be softer and smoother, and that means more subcutaneous fat. And so my answer to how much weight do I need to lose is it's going to vary for each individual. And here's how to do the test to find out what you need to lose. And that is take off all your clothes, stand in front of a mirror, and jump up and down. Anything that jiggles other than breasts on women and genitals on men is not supposed to be there.
Have you not heard this before? So.
Oh, boy. Thank you for the preview of the show coming later today.
It's not the gigolo test. No.
This is a free test that you can do in the safety of your own home.
That's right. And it's not one that your doctor wants to see.
Okay.
This is purely a self-test to be done at home.
Okay.
But anything except breasts and genitals that jiggles is not supposed to be there. So you still have weight to lose.
Okay. So you keep doing this
until you are jiggle free, except for the breast on women and genitals on men.
Okay. All right. Well, that's incredibly clear. So thank you for that. Very scientific.
It gives you a visual.
Which it does. Oh, look at the time. It's time to take a break. And we would love to get to your phone calls. 888-312-5757 is that number to call. 888-312-5757. This is Leading Edge Medicine, and we'll be back right after this break.
I think it's a wonderful thing. It's not reacting after the problems. It's trying to prevent the problems from happening in the first place. And the thing I like the most about everything that I've learned is it all makes very logical and intuitive sense.
Primrose Lane. Life's a holiday on Primrose Lane. Just a holiday on Primrose Lane with you.
And welcome back. This is Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon in the studio, Dr. Samira Umat, and hi there, I'm Lynette Morgan as well with you. And we were just talking about the jiggle machine, or actually the machine that Dr. Mixon should invent so that you would know how much weight to lose. But we did get a question, an off-air question, about Ozempic, and this has actually been in the news the last few months especially. It's a diabetic drug that people seem to be using, not for diabetes, but for weight loss.
Well, they use it for diabetes, too.
Okay.
I mean, it is a good diabetes drug.
You know, they're advertising it now for weight loss.
For weight loss.
Yeah. And it's like, they've got a version of it. Yeah. There's actually now three versions out.
Oh, boy.
It's the same drug for diabetes or weight loss.
Okay.
But interestingly, the weight loss dose is higher than the diabetes dose.
Okay. They're advertising clinics where you can just go in and get prescribed within 24 hours.
Interesting.
Wow. Yeah. Well, Ozempic. Oh, well, what are your thoughts, doctors, on this being used as...
If you tolerate the drug, it will make you lose weight.
Okay. And what would be what would be the side effect that you would need to tolerate?
Thyroid cancer is a potential, so they do warn you about any thyroid disease that you
may
have.
And if you don't have a thyroid, then...
And that's not an issue.
Okay.
Abdominal cramping.
Oh, okay.
Some people get just intense, unremitting abdominal pain with it.
Okay.
And so obviously they can't use it.
Okay.
In fact, I just sent off... Hang on a second. Let me pull my phone out. I just sent somebody a total list of the listed side effects of that.
Okay.
So hang on one second.
Looking up the side effects of Ozempic. Well,
this is the brand, another brand of it.
Okay.
This one is called.
And you do have to get a prescription for this.
It's a prescription. Yeah. It's an injection, and it's expensive.
Yeah. Munjaro. Oh.
Munjaro.
Sounds like African. It's a. It's anywhere from $100 to $150. $900 to $1,500 a month.
And that's injection once a week?
It's a once a week injection. Yeah. You start with a very low dose, 0.25 milligrams for a week. Then the next week, or after 4 weeks, you go to 0.5. And after four more weeks, you go to 0.75. And then you go to up to one. So it steps the dose up in 4 week increments. That means it's going to take you 3 or 4 months to get up to a weight loss dose.
Okay.
But if you raise the dose too fast, you get more side effects.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
And then when you stop the drug, you'll regain the weight.
You can.
Ah. Yes. Yeah. And what is the drug doing that allows you to lose the weight?
Well, it actually interferes with carbohydrate metabolism. It makes you less efficient in your gut.
Okay.
So you can't use the calories as efficiently.
Okay.
And also with the increased rate of passage and the cramping in the gut, it helps to leave things in there less time to be absorbed.
Ah, which is why you're having the cramping.
Here's the list.
Okay.
Munjaro may cause tumors in the thyroid, including thyroid cancer. Watch for possible symptoms such as lump or swelling in the neck, hoarseness, trouble swallowing, or shortness of breath. If you have any of these symptoms, tell your healthcare provider. Do not use Munjaro if you or any of your family have ever had a type of thyroid cancer, medullary thyroid carcinoma. Do not use Munjaro if you have multiple endocrine neoplasia syndrome type 2. Do not use Munjaro if you are allergic to it or any of the ingredients of Munjaro. Munjaro may cause serious side effects, including inflammation of the pancreas or pancreatitis. Mm. Stop using Munjaro and call your healthcare provider right away if you have severe pain in your stomach area that will not go away with or without vomiting. You may feel pain from your abdomen to your back. Low blood sugar, hypoglycemia. Your risk of getting low blood sugar may be higher if you use Munjaro with another medicine that can cause low blood sugar, such as sulfonylureas or insulin. Signs and symptoms of low blood pressure, and it goes through all of that. Then it talks about swelling of your face, lips, tongue, throat, problems breathing or swallowing, severe rash or itching, fainting, feeling dizzy or very rapid heart rate, kidney problems and kidney failure in people who have had kidney problems. Diarrhea, nausea, vomiting may cause loss of fluids and dehydration, which may cause kidney problems to get worse. Severe stomach problems such.
Oh, boy. And the list goes on.
You get the list, and it goes on and on, and there's pages and pages and pages of this stuff.
Wow. Or.
So they warn you,
put down the donuts and cookies and and exercise.
But these drugs do cause weight loss.
Yep. Okay.
But as you can see, there are a significant number of potential side effects.
Yes. Right. Things to consider.
And they are not cheap.
And they're not cheap. And there's an injection. And you'll likely regain the weight after you stop the medication. And we're not prescribing them in our clinics.
There you go. Well, that is probably a good recommendation right there. So, all right. Well, I hope that answered the question. Let's go to Seattle now. Ray has a question. Good morning, Seattle. Ray, hi there.
Hello, Ray.
Hey, good morning. I've talked to you before about the Tadalafil.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And because I've been taking Tamsulosin for, urinary flow stuff.
Sure.
So I went to Tadalafil, 5 milligrams once a day, and holy cow, I have such bad acid. I don't know what you call it, heartburn, acid reflux, indigestion.
Huh.
I had to stop it after about 2 weeks. And I'm you've said that we should put it in our drinking water.
Yeah.
So I know there's some good benefits about it. So I'm just kind of wondering, is there anything I can do? Because now I've been off of it for 2 weeks. I did it for 2 weeks, and now I'm off of it. And the indigestion has gone away. So I'm just wondering if there's anything that I can do to, and that's one of the listed side effects, and you're reading side effect things.
Yes, it is. It's a smooth muscle relaxer, and that's how it dilates your blood vessels by relaxing the smooth muscle in the arteries. But you're right. It can also relax that smooth muscle in your gastroesophageal junction. And that valve can become incompetent, in which case now you're running acid back up.
Did it help you with anything?
It seemed a little bit better than the tamsulosin. Okay. And it did lower my blood pressure, which is, I struggle with.
It lowers blood pressure.
I'm on diltiazem too, because I got a pacemaker, and I've gone into AFib only, maybe five times in my whole life, but okay. They want me on it.
Now, if you're developing that kind of reflux, though, from the tamsulosin.
No, tadalafil.
I'm sorry, tadalafil. Tadalafil. Yeah. I have a couple of questions, I guess. Are you overweight? Do you have excess fat?
Oh, no, not at all. I got a little bit of a pouch, but, I'm...
Okay.
It's minimal. I wear a 34 waist.
All right, good. Pants. Okay. Yeah, I wear a 33 slim myself.
So. Show off.
It's a struggle at this age, the body just wants put on the pounds.
Absolutely.
My overall body temperature, I think they say it's 98.6, and yeah. I'm always in the 97s now, and I'm always going to dress, extra warm.
There are times I think I need to hold my breath when I walk past a bakery, because I'm afraid the smell will add pounds on my...
Yes. Yes. It does for me.
You're not going to admit to eating it, right? I just smelled it. That's all I did.
Just keep walking.
And God, I love pastries.
Can I say something?
Sure.
Just real quick. I had a real, probably virus. You used to. I hope this isn't a bad thing, but you used to use Key Pharmacy, and that guy that would come on your show. He talked about stomach acid.
Yes.
And I started using stomach acid, and I tell you, I had problems with the indigestion, and it just totally took it away. Taking supplemental stomach acid during my meals.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I thought, well, maybe that's what I should take, more stomach acid. But it doesn't sound like it from what you just told me now.
Is it relaxing that sphincter muscle, you think? Yes, that's right. It's relaxing the gastroesophageal valve. And that's why I'm asking, what else might... So if you're lean, that's not doing it. Are you on testosterone?
Yes.
Okay. If you carry that testosterone at a good, robust level... because the testosterone will make the diaphragm stronger. Okay, the diaphragm will get bigger and thicker and stronger, which usually helps reflux to some degree. So, when you're talking to your doctors about your testosterone dosing, you don't want to be in super physiologic levels, but you want to be in the upper third or so of the normal physiology, so that you give that diaphragm all of the extra stimulation it can. So that muscle will be stronger, because the diaphragm actually makes up part of that valve. And so big, thick, robust diaphragm helps stop gastroesophageal reflux. That's part of why, as men get old, they reflux more. The diaphragm, like every other muscle in their body, is getting weak. And so, whatever we can do to toughen that up.
So you can't take antacids or anything that helps?
Well,
what they do is they
turn off the stomach acid so that you don't get the burning when the acid comes back up the esophagus. But it doesn't stop the reflux. In fact, many people will reflux more. That's the interesting thing, is that part of what tightens that valve down and empties your stomach, there's what we call peristalsis. The stomach is surrounded by bands of muscle that rhythmically contract. And so the valve at the top, after you've eaten, the valve comes closed, and the peristaltic muscles start pushing food from the top to the bottom to push it out the into the duodenum. So out of the stomach, to empty the stomach. Young people have a lot of stomach acid, and it's that low pH, that very acidic environment, that triggers the peristalsis and triggers the gastroesophageal valve to shut. And that's why in older people, as we make less stomach acid, In some people, they discover what you discovered. Adding more hydrochloric acid to the stomach causes you to stop refluxing because the more acid environment stops the reflux. Okay, it stimulates the stomach to empty and the valve to tighten. So you got that benefit from your stomach acid supplements. But now the problem is you're also taking a drug to relax the valve.
Yeah. So it's probably, it sounds like a, Well, one of the problems for me is with the more robust testosterone load is right now I struggle with a high hematocrit.
My testosterone level.
So I can't do that. So, you know, I have to go give blood.
Go out and donating blood every other month.
How much water can a person drink in an hour? Because, see, that's how I get my hematocrit low enough to get accepted to give blood. But then I worry about, you know, then I worry about what happened down in California where that lady drank a whole bunch of water and died from hyponatremia.
Yeah, she washed out her sodium died of brain swelling from the hyponatremia. Yeah, well, she did a...
So maybe when you come back, you can tell us.
I'll talk a little bit about that when we get back then.
Okay. And then we've got some more callers waiting on the line as well. We're going to take a quick break, and we will be right back with more Leading Edge Medicine.
I finally went and took that free test, and it didn't hurt. I went ahead and moved forward with genetic testing and inflammatory markers and stuff like that, so I'm encouraged to see what those results are. So how would this work for my father at 80 years old?
Hear that whistle, it's 10 o'clock.
Don't let go, don't let go.
Come on, baby, it's time to rock.
Don't let go.
I'm so happy I got you here.
Don't let go.
Keeps me grinning from ear to ear.
Don't let go.
And we're back. It's Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon, Dr. Samira Umat, and your questions. We've got quite a few callers, but you were going to talk about the water.
The water, yeah.
Yeah.
Most people don't realize that water overdoses can kill you.
If you drink too much.
I have had several people through the years, almost always, in fact, I think they have all been women, who were big, big water drinkers who I ended up putting in the intensive care unit with brain swelling and cardiac dysrhythmias from hyponatremia, washing out all their sodium. It can happen. I would guesstimate that a liter to a liter and a half would be about the most I would think might be safe for an adult. And even there, that's a guesstimate. It's going to depend on the size of the adult and the state of their hydration before they drank it. You know, I mean, somebody who's already well hydrated wouldn't tolerate as much. You know, somebody who's a bit dehydrated, well, they might go to 2 liters. But I'd keep it down to a liter or so just for safety's sake.
Okay. Hopefully that will answer your question there, Ray. And we're going to quickly jump to the other phone line. We have Ann from Renton calling in. Good morning, Ann. Thank you for calling.
Thank you for taking my call.
Yes.
I have a question on my Lia, or Milia, however you say it.
Milia, yeah.
It took me a year trying to go through the internet trying to get a name, and finally saw a picture of it and go, that's what it is.
Those little white speckles.
I hit, in January, I put tea tree oil on it, of course burned the spot on my face. So then I did, opened a vitamin E capsule and mixed it with aloe vera to try and take care of the burn thing. And then I did that for probably 9 months or something. And then, I did another oil. And then I was reading and saw that I should have a cream with vitamin A in it. So I stopped the other and I opened up a vitamin A capsule and mixed it with aloe vera. And now I'm doing that. And I'm wondering if that's only been for about a week now that I've been doing that. Do I need to just keep that up, or is there something else that you can suggest?
Okay. The vitamin A analogs are kind of the standard therapy for this, retinoic acid in one form or another. And they come as, you know, as pre-mixed. You don't have to start opening your vitamin pills and doing your home brews. They just come in a little tube and you just apply it to your skin, you know, once or twice a day. And in fact, in the beginning, more like once every second or third day, and you kind of have to build up a tolerance over time. But it seems to work pretty well for most people.
Okay, keep it up then. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. But again, I don't know what concentration of vitamin A you have there. You know, the studies I've seen have all been using one of the congeners of retinoic acid. But they work.
Okay, so maybe I should increase the more vitamin A than aloe vera.
Maybe. Again, I don't know what your concentration is in what you're mixing up. So I can't give you much guidance with that. I'd say go just have your doctor prescribe a retinoic acid, you know, cream for you. And and your insurance will pay for it. And you go to the pharmacy, you have them give you your pre-mixed, already certified, sterile, clean retinoic acid, and you apply it to your skin. Follow the directions.
Cool. Okay. Is myelia a symptom of anything else?
No, it's just a common thing. It's the oil glands and so on in our skin. We have lots and lots of little pores that contain sebaceous glands and oil glands and that sort of thing, and hair follicles, and sometimes they just seal over. And so you're making a little bit of a liquid underneath a thin skin membrane that has grown over it.
Only on one side of my face?
It can be anywhere. And sometimes these are areas that where you had acne as a kid, or they had sunburns or something. But the retinoic acid, what it does is it speeds up the growth of the skin. And the very superficial layers will peel off quickly. And when you peel off that little layer that is blocking the duct, all of a sudden it's open.
Well, you can also come out. Yeah, they do come out, but also, you know, our master aestheticians can treat them. They can bump them up, puncture them, and extract whatever's blocking them so it clears your skin. Mm-hmm. Many people have to do it periodically to just get a nice facial where they steam it up and they puncture it and they clean it up. Yeah.
Or they do the little abrasive, it's the powder that kind of gets blown across the skin.
The microderms?
Microderm abrasions work.
Yeah, they wouldn't do dermaplaning for it, but they can do microderm abrasion, and definitely a facial where they clean it up, steam it, soften it a little bit, puncture it, and extract whatever's blocking it, and then clear the skin up.
So.
Okay, some options for you, Ann.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Have a good day.
Thank you for your call. Bye-bye. All right, let's head to Kirkland. Alan is on the line. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning. My question is, I have a osteoporosis, and my primary care physician says I should do weight-bearing exercises, walking, and walking up steps might be good things. What would Dr. Mixon recommend? What does weight bearing mean? You know, I've thought about putting 10 pounds of weight in a backpack and walk around, but do you have any suggestions? And I have, quote, AFib, and I'm on a blood thinner, but other than that.
Well, and you're an older man.
Yes.
And my guesstimate is that you are developing osteoporosis from your low testosterone.
Probably my luck, yes.
Yeah, that's almost always the cause in an older man, is low testosterone. See, testosterone stimulates the osteoblast to grow new bone. Estrogen inhibits the osteoclast from dissolving bone. And so as men age, their testosterone drops, so they make bone slower. And they don't convert it to estrogen. They don't have as much testosterone to convert to estrogen. So their estrogen gets too low. And so they're dissolving bone faster and making bone slower. Okay? And that's how you end up with osteoporosis.
So I really need to get in and see you and get some testosterone.
If I had my druthers, I would get your testosterone and your dehydroepiandrosterone levels up into robust levels. I would then allow you to convert some of that testosterone into an estrogen that will slow your bone loss. And that combination over time will help you grow new, thick, harder, safer bone. Bone.
I actually would almost kind of rebuild it.
Yes, that's exactly what we do. And we do that for people all the time. We have lots of people, male and female, that have had osteoporosis that do not have it anymore. We actually grow their bones nice and thick again. Okay. The other thing, the reason they're telling you to weight bearing is when you stress a bone, it stimulates new growth. Okay. So the areas that get stressed will send out chemical signals saying, hey, I'm weak. I need some help. And you make new bone for that area. So climbing stairs, walking, carrying weights around, you know, yes, all of that can help. The trick though is that if you've got osteoporosis, and you put too much weight on it, you may collapse a vertebra. And okay. The definition of osteoporosis is your bones are so thin that they can break with normal use. You don't even have to fall. They can just break. So you need to get somebody doing something about this right away. And yes, if you were our patient, we'd be jumping on it really hard and fast and seeing what we could do to make you better.
Okay. Thank you very much. I appreciate your program.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you for calling, Alan. Okay, it looks like we're going to slip in one more phone call if we can. Julie from Bothell. Hi, Julie. I didn't know if we could get to you, but we're going to try.
Hello, Julie.
Hi. I'm going to then speak very fast. Thank you, by the way, for taking my call. I'm in my low 60s and just recently was diagnosed for mild to moderate tricuspid valve regurgitation.
Okay.
loose heart valve, and also I have a mildly increased pulmonary systolic pressure. So I was wondering, Doctor, what would you recommend?
The mild pulmonary hypertension scares me because you do not want that. That's, you know, you need to get that fixed. And medications may help, but if that tricuspid valve is too bad, it's going to need to be replaced. Fortunately, that's a very, very good surgery these days. Tay, I am so sorry that we're down to less than a minute to go. Can you call us back next week early in one of the shows, either the AM, the 8 a.m. or the 10 a.m. show, and get in early because this is a subject that needs some real discussion.
Yes, and we'd like to talk about that with you, Julie, okay?
Thank you.
I don't want to give you short shrift. It's too important.
You call and we'll put you on first. Wow, what a show. Thank you for that, Julie. It's been a busy morning with so many phone calls and so much information. Of course, we love it when you call in and you are a part of our show here at Leading Edge Medicine. Of course, we'll be back live again next week. So if you didn't get on the show today, call us and be one of the first ones next week. Have a great rest of your weekend. On behalf of Dr. Mixon and Dr. UMAC, I'm Lynette. We'll see you next time.